Hey guys, it's David over at the Active Podcast, and I'm so excited for today's episode because we're going to be talking to Madeline, who is an incredible, incredible filmmaker. Her brand is Films by Madeline, and what's crazy is she's only been doing weddings like full-time in her own brand for less than 2 years, but her work is insane, inspires me so much, inspires so many other people so much, and we talk about her story and also what it's like being a female in this male-dominated industry. And also, she shares some wedding horror stories near the end, which you're not going to want to miss. They are incredible. And on top of all that, our Profitable Filmmaker course is going to be coming out super soon. So in the link below, you can see a link to find out more about that course. And what that course is our flagship course. It's the step-by-step system on how to make $100,000 a year as a wedding filmmaker in any location, in any market, in any economy. And I talk about everything from sales to marketing to branding to mindset to workflow to Facebook ads to social media to all the things that takes to run your business, profitability, and so much more. And that course is coming out super soon, and it's only going to be available for less than a week, and then I'm closing the cart and not going to have it open for a really long time. So you definitely want to check it out. Click the link below to put in your email to find out more about it. Maddie also took the course, and she's going to be talking about it a little bit towards the end of this podcast. So if you want to hear her experience through it, definitely listen to the end. And yeah, that I think covers all the prep stuff for this podcast. Such a great conversation, and I can't wait for you guys to listen to it. So without further ado, let's get into it. So tell me a little bit about how you got started, because I know I met you for the first time at Venture, I believe, and you had been following forestry for a while. And I remember when I first saw your work, I was like, whoa, this girl's work is so good. Where the heck did she come from? And I know you have like all this background in music and art and all these things. Like, have you always been interested in film? Is just like, just kind of take me on that journey of how did this come to be?
Yeah, I think it's been like a longer journey than like I did start my business just 2.5 years ago. But before that, I was working for another wedding video company. And even before that, it's like, you know, it's just been a really long culmination of things that led me here. And I kind of joke about it, but I used to say that I wanted to film weddings when I was like in high school, actually. And a lot of people would always like think that that was a little silly, just because I feel like at that point, like I thought it was really fun, and it just didn't seem as like a tangible thing to do. And even in my mind, I always kind of viewed it as like, okay, that would be cool one day. But yeah, just a culmination of things, like growing up always being very, I don't know, I feel a lot. I've always just felt a lot and connected with music, and even just like nostalgia in general. I think I always was really like motivated to go through old home videos and go through old pictures and like treasure those memories a lot. And when I watched my first wedding video, I remember just being completely like taken in by it. Like it was just so cute, and the couple was so cute. And I was like, I just love how marriage and their relationship is being portrayed here, and like how I can experience like that sweet love that they have for one another as a like outside viewer just watching it, you know? Yeah. And so like through growing up, I always was really interested in like filming things, and in high school, like years ago, which it's been a while. I am 27, so it's been like almost 10 years since that.
You're like, but actually I'm 86. It doesn't look it, yeah. But it's been a while.
And yeah, so I used to film like, I don't know, random videos all the time, but I made this one video that, as I look back, that was really a turning point for me in realizing that like film and video can be used as a tool to help people feel seen and like celebrated. Like when I look back, it seems kind of silly, but it was this like, I wouldn't even call it like a movement, but it was something we were doing at school where it was like on a mental health and like all this stuff. And so I was like, oh, I really want to make a video to like help spread the word about this or something. And so I went around and like had people all around campus on our, in my high school, write like a word that described that people, that they thought that people thought about them. And it could have been something like weird or like, I don't know, anything like that. And like a negative thought that people would have about them. And then they would erase it and write their name, I think. And then they would show that. And I remember when I showed that to my teacher, who was like helping us run that whole thing, he was like, how do you get them to have such like joyful and like candid reactions when they turn that like thing around? And like, and I didn't really know, like, I think I just like, when they turned it around, I was like in the background, like, you're awesome. Like, woohoo, you know, just like trying to, you know, I don't know, just sitting in that joy with them while they're like, and just helping them bring out their natural joy and laughter. Anyways. And then I showed that video to like a couple other teachers or something, and they were really moved by it. And I was like, wow, like, this is cool. You know, it's something that like I've created, but I'm helping other people feel seen and I'm helping other people connect to that. Yeah. So it's kind of a long-winded answer. And I feel like I change my answer every time because it really is just a culmination of things. But that I really felt like a turning point with like film itself. And then fast forward to college, still had that dream of wanting to be a wedding filmmaker, and shared that with a friend who was actually a wedding photographer in San Diego at the time. And he knew of a company in San Diego that was hiring people to help them film weddings. So I was like, yeah, this sounds great. Like, I would love to, I needed to do an internship for like school anyways. So I was like, I'm just going to contact them and reach out. And so I did, and ended up working for them for like 4 years. And they're like a volume brand in San Diego. And so a lot of weddings, like I assisted at a lot of weddings and like second shot at a lot of weddings, and then ended up being one of like their lead like filmmakers and editors. And then right before I started my own business, they were like, hey, do you want to come on full time with us? And at that time, I was kind of starting to realize that I really didn't.
You didn't want to do 750 weddings a year?
Yeah, no, they do a lot. They're awesome. Like, I really love everything I learned from them. And like, I never want to do like a volume brand thing, but like, it totally works for them. And that's great. But I realized for myself that that's not, when I dreamt of being a wedding filmmaker, that wasn't what I had in mind. And also starting to figure out like my own artistic like take on things. Like, I had filmed a few friends' weddings on the side because they were like, oh, Maddie films weddings. Like, yeah, let's ask her to do it for free. And I totally did.
Yes, and for sure.
Which, you gotta do what you gotta do. Yeah. And I started filming other people's weddings and realizing like, oh, this is cool to like have the creative freedom to like do what I want, you know, and like actually know these people. and ended up turning down that full-time job that they offered and started my own business. And then 2020 hit, and that was dope. And
wait, so you started your business
in 2019?
In 2019.
Yeah.
I thought you had been doing it for I guess no. Maybe it's because you were working for this other company. It seemed like you had been doing it longer.
Yeah. Yeah. So I started in 2019, and then like 2020 hit, and I was like, was learning so much about just like the business portion of things. Cause I knew like technical things, like you could put me at a wedding, and like that company really trained really well to like be very technically sound. And so I really did learn how to do that. But business side of things, reschedules, contracts, like COVID things, force majeure, like all those things, I'm like learning as I go completely. And it was really tough for sure. Yeah. 2021, this last year felt, and it really was, it did feel like my first full like real year, you know, which was wild.
That's crazy.
I know. And
okay. Cause I went through 2020, but like I've been in business for 10 plus years and it was like hard. So I can't even imagine. Yeah. And I know a lot of people that are probably listening to this, obviously everyone went through 2020, but like, did you ever think about quitting in 2020 when that happened? Because it was just your first year. Like, and I'm sure a lot of people, maybe they didn't quit in 2020, but they're thinking about it in 2021. Cause like, it's kind of like the same thing. Like, what were some of your emotions going through that?
Yeah. I don't think I ever thought about quitting. Like, for me, I've always been very driven with, I don't know, I've always been kind of a perfectionist, for better or for worse. And so I think for that, in like specifically, I just knew it would get better. I was like, which here we are, we're still here, but it is getting better and it's totally fine. But I think I kind of just saw the light at the end of the tunnel and that helped a lot, but it was really hard at times. And I think this year was actually a lot harder just because I didn't really have like a first full year to see like workload, like how much is like feasible for me to actually take on, like turnaround times. Like I had my turnaround time at like 15 weeks. That's what, you know, this other company did that I used to work for. And that's because they were a volume brand and they had employees working for them to do that. And like, you know, they had a more template style, like wedding film that they would give out. Whereas for me, I want to create films that are really personalized and like make me sit down for like a really long time and like work on it. And yeah, so I forget what we were talking about. I'm like, but oh yeah, 2021 was hard.
Oh no, you're doing fantastic. I mean, it's all hard. That's what you're talking about. I love the idea that you work for this other company for 4 years, because a lot of people would see your work currently and like, whoa, she's so awesome. Like she's doing all this amazing work and would never know that you like, this is your first year basically, or that you work for this volume brand that's a completely different style than what you're doing right now. And I kind of want to unpack that a little bit, because I know a lot of people who get started and they're like, hey, I just want to do this work that I'm passionate about. And they kind of just grind that out for a really, really long time and they're not getting anywhere. And I always tell them like, hey, like you're the same as my story. I worked for another company that was a volume brand for the first year and a half lead shooting before I even dipped my toes into my business. So like, do you feel like you would have been where you are right now if you hadn't worked for 4 years for that company? Like, would you do it again? Was that super beneficial? Like, if you were to talk to yourself 5 years ago, what track would you tell yourself to go on?
Yeah, honestly, I'm very grateful for the time that I had with him. I feel like it was like having a built-in mentor, as far as just like even though their work is different than what I want to be creating and what I now create, there foundationally is a lot of things that I took from them that I think really helped me build a good foundation for my own business. And just with like technical things, a lot of like even just like feeling comfortable and confident at a wedding, like having that time to like assist for a really long time. And then, you know, they would do like trainings and like things where I felt like I really got great technical support, tech support. But I, right. I actually had somebody reach out to me like in 2020 and they were like, hey, I really love your work. Like, how did you get started? And I told them about this company that I worked for. And at the time that company was actually hiring. And I was like, hey, if you want to get like started, like this is a great way to like, if you want to start learning about how to like assist a wedding or just like show up and like watch how a wedding goes, like they're hiring at the moment. So you could totally apply and see if that works out. And he ended up getting hired by them and like working for them. But I think with the same idea of like, this won't be like a forever thing. Like I want to kind of learn. And a lot of people do that in volume brands like that at least freelancers that I know in the area. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It's not crazy sustainable, but I guess what you would say is like, would you tell people, hey, you know, if you're wanting to get into wedding filmmaking, you're probably going to have a better shot if you find someone to mentor you. Online education is fantastic, but also finding someone who you could regularly like go to weddings and assist and not feel like, oh man, I'm not where I want to be. Like, would you strongly encourage people like, hey, find someone where you could like for at least a year, lead shoot, second shoot, do all of that stuff?
Yeah, I totally think that. Like, if I hadn't worked for this other company, I would have totally taken advantage of like, you know, even just reaching out to people in your area. Like, they can say no, like that's totally fine. But like reaching out and saying like, hey, I'm like here if you need somebody, or like I'm happy to just show up and help you carry things. Like, I would have done that and like respectfully.
And you're just like stalking them. Like, we told you no. Yeah, why are you here?
Yeah. And I think that is definitely something I would have totally taken advantage of and done for sure. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think too, like for people listening, it'd be really cool to look at other filmmakers in your area and see what kind of cameras they use. And if you're just getting started, like, yeah, you might have a favorite camera or whatever, but if you really like their work, it would actually be really smart to purchase that same camera, because I know when I'm hiring third or second shooters, it's just really helpful if they already know their way around the camera that I use, and it becomes really beneficial to me because it actually becomes more of a burden. If I'm on Panasonic and they're on Sony, I'm like, ah, now I have to work harder in editing to like work with your footage. Although with volume brands, I don't know, with the one you work for, they had their own gear that they gave you, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
For the most part. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now they do.
Yeah. Okay. So that was kind of taken care of for you.
Yeah. Yeah. But I remember what I was going to say too, is just that I think for me, I really wanted like my brand and business when I put it out into the world, like I wanted it to feel ready. And I know that kind of clashes with like some people are like, and I've said this before too, like just do it. Like you just need to like start taking the steps, and you really do. But like for me, those steps were a little bit more behind the scenes. And then when I felt ready, like, okay, this is something I'm ready to show to the world and like put out there to just give Films by Madeline like a good name from the get-go, that was really important to me personally. And so could be my perfectionism playing a role in that too. And like there definitely was a part that was like, I'm not going to do it yet. Like, you know, it's not ready yet. And I really had to be like, all right, just do it. But with the mindset of like, all right, I want it to feel prepared and ready to put out into the world. So that's for me personally.
Well, I think you're kind of hitting on something really important, because a lot of filmmakers will just, oh, I want to do weddings, and they get into it and they think they know what they want to do and what they want to present to the world. Like in my case, I was Love Shot Productions, and that was what I thought the world wanted, but no, bad move. But you kind of like, through working with this other company, I'm sure you, because you just knew you wanted to do weddings, but through shooting so many weddings, you probably fine-tuned through working for someone else kind of what you really wanted to do.
For sure.
So like, how did you know it was time to kind of like move on and do your own thing? Or like, because I know a lot of people are either working for someone else or maybe working at a full-time job somewhere. They're kind of doing weddings on the side. Like, when did you start really, what did you feel? Maybe what did your work look like to where you're like, okay, I think I'm going to start building Films by Madeline?
Yeah, I think the first thing that popped into my head was just financially. I started to realize that like it made a lot more sense for me to just do my own thing, like based off of the salary that they were showing me that they could give me, and like if I stayed contracting, like what I could do, and just trusting like the process and the potential that it could be, both financially and also just life givingly. I don't know the word.
Right.
But like,
yeah, just have fun.
Yeah. And so I think when I started to realize that more and more, I was kind of, I don't want to say dreading, but like I wasn't enjoying what I was doing for that other company as much. And I was at the same time working on my own things and realizing I was having so much more fulfillment working on my own things. And I ended up launching it like when I released a video that I was really proud of. And I was like, all right, when I launch my business, like I'm also going to launch this video to kind of be like a catalyst for like people to see like, oh, this is what you'd get. And that was Emma and Morgan's video, which I still have on my like page. And I post from theirs often.
Well, I mean, it's only been what, like 2 years? It's
2.5 years. I know they're like celebrating their third anniversary or something. Yeah. So it's hard to say really. I think it really was a slow over time thing. And then all of a sudden just needed to be like, what do I enjoy? What's giving me life? And financially, like what makes sense?
I think you're hitting on something really key though, is building your whole business around films that you enjoy and that are life-giving.
Yeah.
And it sounds so simple, but like so many people don't do it. And now seeing kind of both sides of the coin, because now you are doing a business that you're like, a lot of your couples are the ones that you want to work with. And you could have just, hey, I'm going to start this and take whatever I wanted to do, but you probably wouldn't be enjoying it all that much. Like, would you tell someone, like kind of what I'm hearing from you is, hey, wait to start your business until you know that you can work with the couples that really allow you to like be passionate about what you're doing.
For sure. 100%. Like, and I think I heard you've said this before too in different things, but just like, I love when you said you would have rather worked like a part-time job and then gotten the clients that you really wanted to work with rather than work, you know, working for people that you didn't really connect with as much, creating films you weren't super jazzed about like at first. And so I think I've been leaning into that a lot too this year of like really trying to name what gives me fulfillment and how I want to be spending my time. And yeah.
No, that's really awesome. Yeah. I think it's key because when you work with couples that you actually are excited about, your films are going to turn out so much better because you're excited about editing them. You're excited about sharing them. And one film that you're excited about can have a million times more marketing power than 7 or 8 or 10 films that you're just like, yeah, this was okay. Cause you don't want to share them. You don't put the passion into editing. So they don't get seen as much. People don't respond as well. And it's just, it's kind of like a hack that you can do in your own business to just work with couples that you're excited about. And if you can't fill a whole calendar with it, yeah, like we were talking about, get a part-time job. Or I think even better would be get a part-time job working for another filmmaker to just kind of continue to hone your craft. So yeah, I love that. And then one thing I wanted to talk about is your work. Like one thing that stands out to me about your work is I just feel like even the little clips that you post are so emotional. And I know that's not by mistake. I know you're really, you feel a lot of things you've been saying, like the reason I got into film was because I want to make people feel seen. I want to actually tap in to their emotions. Like what, is that something you intentionally go for every film? Like, how can I make this emotional? Or is it just something that like, this is just who I am? And like, kind of walk me through that process of why are your films that way?
Yeah, I think it's a mix of a lot of things. You're right. I am very intentional about, especially like Instagram or like sharing little small clips here and there. I'm really intentional about like what I share on there because for a lot of reasons, but, I think as far as like me and myself, I have always been a very like emotional person and a very like soft person in a way too. Like obviously everybody's multifaceted and has like goofy sides and I totally have that too, but like in my day to day and like in my mind I feel very softly and like gently and I'm always really connected to music that feels very soft and like, and so when I make films I really do bring such a personal like element because it's my perspective, you know, of like what happened on the day. Like, obviously I learned so much about them and what they want, but like at the end of the day, it's my hands and my brain making those cuts and doing those things. And so a lot of it really is just like my heart and like that is just motivated and is drawn to like beautiful and sacred moments. And yeah, I'm working on a film right now for, so like I said, I started 2.5 years ago. And so you can imagine from 2020, I had a lot of reschedules from 2021 for people that I booked when I was very early on. And so I'm in the midst of like working for clients that like I would have had a different approach to booking clients then as I do now, if that makes sense. Like, right. I don't know how to word it, but like my style has changed. And now when I book clients, like I want to book clients in like a more specific way than I did back then when I was first starting, obviously. Anyways, all that to say, like I'm working on one where this client wants like kind of a more upbeat film and like wants like things to be really fun and like bright. And that is very different from what my natural heart it gets drawn to. And so, right. And it's a bit hard. Like I think it is making me realize more and more that like soft and like gentle films feel more natural to me. And not to say that I don't like, I'm thoroughly enjoying editing this video, love this couple, they're awesome, but it is just kind of pivoting me to realize more like what I like and what gives me fulfillment. Yeah, did that answer your question?
Yeah, that was really okay. Good. And what do you do because like a lot of people are in that situation where they know these are the kind of films that they want to be making and they're kind of moving towards that. But like you said, you know, weddings, you kind of plan out your whole year, a year in advance. And all of a sudden you're with these couples where you wouldn't have booked them knowing what you know now about yourself and what kind of films that you enjoy. Like, How do you, as someone who's so in tune with what they really enjoy doing, serve a client that is totally different from you and you may have not booked them? Like, how do you bring yourself to do a good job, like, and to have fun doing it? Is it even possible? Is it just something you're like, oh, I just got to do it and get it done? Or
yeah, that's a really good question. I think that for me, I am always like removing myself, like, as I just talked about how like I'm so invested in the films that I make, but it's a good balance, you know, and like I'm a firm believer through and through that these videos aren't for me, like they're for my clients. And so I've been hired by these people to like make something that, and this is their vision for it. So I'm going to do the best I can to like make that happen for them because that's where they hired me. And so, and like, I don't know, like for this one in particular, when I'm watching this video, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so them. Like, this is so her, like, and him, like they're going to feel so seen by this. And I think that really motivates me to keep making this for them. Like for me, I know that this probably won't be a film that I'm going to put on my website. It's not going to be a film that I'm probably going to put on my, you know, marketing or socials or anything. Not because there's anything wrong with it. It's just, I don't really want to in the future be booking people that, because people are going to see that video if I post it and be like, I want that, you know? And then I'm stuck in this cycle. Yeah. All that to say, like right now, I'm not enjoying this. Like I am enjoying editing this video, even though it's something that isn't something that I normally would like connect with. So
totally. And I think it comes down to like what I tell people, there's always going to be parts of your life and business that you're going to have to do something that you don't want to do or work with someone that might not be your ideal person to work with. So I think it's so important to know why you got into weddings to begin with, because I think it's not talked about as much as it should be, because oftentimes it's like, oh, I love weddings and I love creating these things. And even what you said at the beginning, like I love, you know, entering into these sacred spaces with people and things like that. And that's all fantastic. But I think really what it has to come down to for any business, and I think especially weddings, is if you're not in it to actually serve other people at the core, then you're going to be just frustrated and it's going to be really, really challenging because you're going to have edits that you're like, man, this is not really my vibe. Or you're going to work with a couple who you thought like everything checked out on paper, but then you show up on the day and they're really hard to work with. And I've just kind of come to the realization that if I'm doing everything in my business for like what I enjoy in the moment, I'm just going to constantly be frustrated because it's going to be going against like my selfishness. But if I start every year not knowing what's going to come, I mean, hoping for the best, obviously planning for the best, planning to work with couples that you really enjoy. But if I go into the year instead of, hey, whoever comes into my path this year, whatever problem comes onto my plate this year, I'm going to consider that other person more valuable than me in that moment because they're in front of me and I'm the only person who can like serve them in this moment. And I'm going to do it for them and not for me. And I think if that's the motivation, and I'm kind of getting a lot of that from you is like, hey, this is what I want to do. But at the end of the day, I value people so much that if this is going to make them feel seen and heard and feel joy today and for the rest of their lives, I'm going to put my everything into it. So yeah, I guess to this capstone or kind of since that went off is, hey, as you're starting your business, just really make sure that you're doing it to serve other people. And if that's your goal, you're going to be able to get through whatever like kind of storm or things that you're not stoked about. You're going to be able to get through those. And so I think one of the really cool things is you are a girl, obviously, in the wedding filmmaking world, which is rare because most people in the filmmaking world are men. And then, which is weird, that also carries through to weddings, whereas wedding photography, most of the people in there are girls, which kind of makes sense, weddings. So how does it feel being a girl? Do you feel like, oh man, I am a female in this world and I feel different? Or have you even thought about it? Like kind of walk me through that.
Yeah. It's a big question.
I know. It's like just unpack all of society for me.
This is like my counseling session. Right. No. I was thinking about this and I think for me, being a female in the industry. Well, first off, I think it's really interesting that, like what you just explained, how like photographers feel there's like a lot of females in that industry. It's just interesting. Like I would be in, I don't know. I'm just curious about that. Like, why is that? But I think there are a lot of really awesome women that are like also in the filmmaking, like wedding films now, there are coming out, which is really cool to connect with other women. And like at Venture, that was a really cool time to like meet a lot of other women there. And it was kind of funny because there was this moment at Venture 2 where, and it was just another moment to just get curious about, but it's like a new gear piece was brought out and all the guys like flaunted over to it. Like, what is that? That's so cool. And then there was this group of girls on the side, which I was a part of. And all of us were just like, yo, like, I don't know what that is, but it looks really cool. And cool. And yeah, it was just very curious. But for me personally, I have always been, like I've kind of stated before, a very soft person, especially when I'm meeting new people. And I've never been somebody that's like very loud and out there when I'm meeting new people. And that is definitely built into my business as well, through my films and just the way that I communicate and like how I present myself, and because it's me. And I'm learning more and more that that is okay, because for a while I looked at that sensitivity as like a weakness, which I want to botch, like, I don't know, the idea that like showing weakness is bad too, because that was in my mind, like, oh, if this is a weakness, like that's bad. You know, I shouldn't be sensitive. Like I'm running a business. I need to be like headstrong. Like if somebody comes to me, especially during reschedules and all of that, that really tested my sensitivity a lot. And that's something that I am still working through. I live with all guys, my husband and then two of our best friends. And I am constantly just reminded how I am built differently, just like hormonally too. Like right. I am sensitive, like, and that is okay. And so for me, that has been something really cool to lean into more in just my day-to-day life, and also look at it as a strength and such a positive asset to myself. And also recognizing that like sensitivity isn't just for women too, like, and headstrongness isn't really just for men too. It's like
right.
Both can be either or, but for me personally, in my experience, like I am a sensitive gal. And so,
well, I think you hit on something so key, because as a female in the industry, I think if there's, say, a girl listening to this and she's like, oh, I want to get into it. And yes, there are girls doing incredible, incredible work, but it's still by and large a lot more men, which is odd because it's weddings, like yeah. You said, but it's yeah. A whole other conversation. I think like for girls listening to this, off of what you mentioned, hey, lean into what makes you different, what makes you a girl, what makes you, and it, I think for a lot of girls, there is that more sensitive, artistic, creative side, not for all girls. And, you know, there could be other girls who are drawn more to the gear and the headstrong thing like that. But I think the industry needs more women, and if women come in trying to be like the men and compete with them, they're going to shortchange just the beauty that they can bring into that industry, into our industry. Because when I look at your work, when I look at all these other amazing females' work, it's like, man, you could tell it's made by a girl, and that's so important to lean into that.
Yeah, I think just to like name two, I feel like you are a male in the industry that has a lot of really sensitive, like emotive qualities as well, which is really cool. And I think it is true. Yeah, no, yeah. It's awesome. And I think a lot of guy filmmakers that I've seen, they have really technically beautiful like films that like almost look like you're watching a commercial sometimes, where you're like, whoa, that's amazing. Right, and it's amazing and so cool. But like for me, because I feel like so emotionally, like that is at the forefront of all my work. Like if a shot is not perfect or like, but the emotion is there and it's like, then I'm going to put it in. And so, yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. This topic is so interesting, but
yeah, it's like, Honestly, I'm still trying to figure it out too, because when you said that whole thing about, hey, when I was at Venture and they pulled out the whole gear and everyone was kind of, you know, all the men flocked to the gear and the women are just like, oh, that looks cool. Like, what is that? It's weird because like I'm different in that way too. Like I don't like gear and like techie stuff. And like you said, there's a lot of friends that we know that are just like, their films are so beautiful. But I've also always been drawn to just give me the emotion. Like if I could just make the camera disappear and just be present here, like I would prefer that. And I think it kind of all comes down to, really, you can't be a good filmmaker or a good artist until you actually are okay being the unique weird that you actually are.
For sure.
or you know, if you don't really know who you are as a person, you're going to make films that you're not happy with. And it seems so cliche.
Yeah,
but like,
that is huge.
Right?
No, I know. It seems cliche, but like hearing that too, like I just felt like, oh my gosh, like that is so true, you know? And like, I think that's what's helped me so much in starting my brand is honing in on like my why. I know you hear that like constantly and like I preach it left and right, but like it really has been a huge catalyst in like helping me almost kickstart my brand.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit, like your why, because that is, everyone knows it's important,
yeah,
but it kind of feels so daunting of feeling like you're making a mission statement for your whole
yeah,
life and this is what
does,
you're gonna
huh?
live off of.
Yeah.
Like, was it something that you just woke up one morning and you're like, oh, I just journaled 37 pages and it just came to me? Or like, how does someone find their why? Because it just like even me, I'm like, well, that sounds scary. Like, how do you do that in a actual practical way? How did you do that?
For me, I think leaning into myself for one. So like kind of, I've talked about it before, but just leaning into, I'm a soft person. I enjoy like gentle things and figuring out what gives me fulfillment. And yeah, gosh, it's so hard, but it's all feeling based for me. And like, that sounds so like hippy dippy, but it is. And, I'm so grateful that I have a concrete why, because it's helped me find clients that also feel the same way that I do. And that's so important to me is to like,
and what is your why? Do you have it like,
yeah,
in a sentence, or is it more just like you said, a feeling like when I feel it, I know that this is the client I'm supposed to work with.
So for me, I don't really have like a mission statement or anything like that. Like, I don't know, a proper business owner should, but, and I think if I was to have one, it would just be capturing moments that make you feel, because, and I know that's so cliche and it's all probably all over the internet on everybody's wedding website, but like, it really is true. And for me, I want to create films that are timeless and feel like my clients, also another cliche to say, but it's dang true. And I want it to feel like you're watching a home video. Like, I'm so attached to my home videos. They are so precious to me. And I want my films to like bring somebody into that same nostalgia while they watch them. So it impacts every decision that I make, like music choices. I will stray away from a song that I think about, like if I listen to it, I'm like, that's going to be, you know, if we were to watch like an 80s wedding video or something, like that would be like an 80s song that you would hear and be like, oh, that's so that era. And like, for me personally, I want them to be able to watch it and like feel that timelessness and like for it to not feel trendy. That was a whole word vomit of my why, but it is what it is.
It was fantastic. I think it's actually beautiful that it is messy, because I think I'm a perfectionist too, and I get so caught up in my mind before I do something, especially something in my business or a film, and I think I have to have everything kind of laid out in terms of, in order for me to do something, it has to be, I have to write it out, it has to sound eloquent, everything has to be prepared before I take the jump off the cliff. But I think when you kind of are in tune with who you are as a person, you can go off of those feelings and just know that those are kind of the gospel truth for your brand. And it's okay not to have all of the words in concrete form. But I like, oftentimes when I edit a film, I'm just like, man, I'll have simple words. Like I want it to feel nostalgic, or I want it to feel authentic or joyous. And this song makes me, it reminds me of like when I was a kid with my dad, and for whatever reason, that really makes me feel something. And I want that same feeling to be communicated. And it's not this whole long paragraph statement and all these things. It's just trying to do whatever I can so that when I'm watching the film, it just anchors me in these, you know, most basic emotions that I felt at the start of looking at their footage or something like that.
Totally. Yeah. No, that's awesome. Yeah, I can really relate to that. And like the nostalgia piece, something that I had like a branding shoot done in August a while ago, and the perfectionist in me is still sitting on a lot of those photos to share. But I'm really happy with how they turned out because it was really focused. It wasn't just like a shoot that was like, let's just put you in front of a camera and like capture a good light. And it was like, and that whole process made me realize too, because I was hiring a photographer, like I was in the shoes of like what my clients and prospective clients are in. I was like, I want to find somebody that has a really concrete why, that I can trust their artistic ability. And like, and so I did find somebody that I really felt like she felt the same way as me. And that was so important. And she helped me create like a branding shoot that really encouraged my own, my why in it too, you know, and like really intentional. So like I brought like old pictures of mine, and like we were like almost laying like a flat layout, but she was kind of just capturing me like looking through them, and like, and it was just reminded me how much like nostalgia, like that's what reminded me of it, is I want my films to feel like grounded in nostalgia. And so for that, that was kind of a tangible way that I helped communicate that, was through that shoot.
And I guess it shows too that like it does matter to be specific about who you are as a person, because people really do identify with that. So the same way you identified with this photographer, like couples want to become friends with you. They want to know more about you. So the more that you put of yourself through your branding, through your work, it invites people to have the opportunity to have that same feeling that you had with the photographer. And then that whole idea of competition kind of goes out the window, because it almost becomes like choosing your friends or choosing your spouse. Obviously those are like really big decisions, but you know, your wedding is the most intimate day of probably a lot of people's lives. And I think really what it comes down to is like couples at first, they're like, oh yeah, I want this and this and this and this and all these things. But when they're able to go on someone's website and feel like I connect with that person's soul and like who they are in life, a lot of those other things of like, oh, it has to be this certain style or that certain thing, they're like, man, I just really want to work with this person. And I like see their why and it aligns with my why of my life. And I just want to work with them because I know they get me. And I think that's really at the end of the day, what couples want. They want to feel seen and they want to feel like you see them in such a way that you're going to care for their heart on the day of and do something that's authentic to them. And if you can demonstrate that through words on your site, through that initial phone call you have with the couples, through your work, they're not going to want to look anywhere else. So I think it's so important to just, yeah, be specific with who you are. And if you are more quiet, say I'm quiet and soft-spoken, and so many people get scared, like I have to be like, oh, I'm really energetic and joyous on the day, because that's what they see other people doing. But like, no, just be you.
For sure. I'm still learning that, totally. But even just like a small thing I was thinking about too, like posting on Instagram can feel a little bit daunting to me sometimes too, because of my perfectionism and like sharing on socials and things, especially with that idea of like, okay, I want to, you know, maintain this like brand while also still being myself, you know? So it's just this weird like balance of,
so hard.
And I think that's why I struggle so much with TikTok. And I'm like very hesitant to like dive into that, because I just, it is such a different fast paced. Yeah. And so like, for example, the other day I hadn't posted on Instagram in who knows how long. And I was like, I feel like posting today, which it was great. And so I posted a story and noticed like the flowers behind me. And so I was like, oh, I'm just going to like snap a shot of these flowers behind me while I'm editing. And it didn't feel super curated. Like there was an element of me being, I don't know, but I knew that I wanted to portray to people, like, this is something that I thought was beautiful and like I thought was really cool. So I'm going to share it. And I want the right people to like connect with that. You know what I mean? Mm. That's just an example of like a small thing too, that like, even just my, like, I want to infuse who I am into that. And yeah.
And I think it's hard with social media too, because this is something I'm still processing. I'm sure you kind of touched on right now about TikTok, is like, there are things that you can do to get more bookings, to even make more money. Like, obviously, if you wanted to make a lot of money, maybe doing highly curated wedding films isn't the way to do that. Maybe it is doing a volume brand. So I think first you got to decide, what do I want? 30, you know, weddings a year, or do I just want 15 highly curated ones? And if that's the case, yes, it might be smarter for me as a business person to get onto X, Y, and Z social media platform. But do I really need to? Like, yes, it's smarter if I want like more exposure and things like that. But if I'm only going for 10 or 12 weddings or 15, is it necessary? And I think also, like, just like fashion, different types of people are drawn to different social medias and different forms of expressing themselves. And none are inherently bad, but like, I'm kind of like you. I'm a little more intentional, a little more soft-spoken. I feel more deep. And I don't know, maybe I'm just crazy old and watch. I'm going to like rewatch this and be like, well, man, why wasn't I on TikTok? I like missed out on all these bookings and all this opportunity. But I just find in my life, regardless of age, like, I'll talk to a 19-year-old, 20, 30, 40-year-old who are like me, and I talk to them about TikTok. They're like, oh, I'm not on there because it stresses me out. And these are like really artistic, cool people, kind of my ideal clients. And in real life, my ideal clients are not on TikTok. Are there potential brides on TikTok? Oh, absolutely. But like, my ideal brides and couples, I'm like, hey, I would like to shoot your wedding, even though you're already married, but like, you are the type of people I want. A lot of them don't even have social media, which is a whole nother mind-blowing thing.
That's, yeah, for sure.
So like, have you thought about that, of like,
yes,
in your process?
Yeah, I definitely have. And I totally resonate with you too, of just trying to figure out like, if that's even worth it for me to put my time into. And even just like, I don't know, a side note, like, I think TikToks are funny and like great. And I think I see a lot of filmmakers putting on like funny things on there, but like, and they do really well, like those moments, or they're really emotional, like sweet moments that they put on there and they do really well. I don't know. I just feel like the types of things that I would put out there just doesn't, like, it wouldn't catch on to like, I don't know, a ton of people, you know? Like, I posted one thing on there, and it was from a video that I made in 2020. It's called, their names are Corinne and Josh. It's called Corinne and Josh. Their names are Corinne and Josh, but her dad had this really beautiful speech that he said in the middle of the video. And I posted that. I really was totally naive to like the entire like viral thing, like all of that. Anyways, it really caught on. People started to watch it. I felt extreme anxiety about it, because I was like, oh my gosh, this is like my client's like very sacred moment that her dad, like, those are his words that he spoke, and like, that is their moment. And I just posted it on this like viral app, and it felt different than posting it on Instagram, you know, because it just felt like, isn't that weird? Because I felt like I posted it on Instagram prior to that, and that felt fine to me because it was such a smaller audience. But inviting so many people into that moment almost made it feel like it made that moment less sacred for my clients, even though that's not the reality. It kind of felt like I was taking that away from them. And so I reached out to them. They're super cool. And I reached out to them. I was like, hey, I just want to let you know that I posted this. Like, it was my first time. Like, I didn't realize it was going to go this viral. And they were like,
there's reporters at our house.
I know. No, I was like, they're like, I was probably making it such a more of a big deal than it needed to be, but they were totally chill. They're like, thank you so much for letting us know. Like, how funny, or something. But also,
you're
like
having panic attacks.
I know. But they, I think knowing them, like, I could tell that, like, I don't know, just for me personally, if that happened, I would feel a little bit uncomfortable, you know? And like, I know some filmmakers say that they'll make something and then send it to their client. And if their client responds well, then they'll post it. I just, for the moments and the things that I want to capture, it just feels so sacred, and putting it on such like a fast-paced app feels difficult. And I know that that is true for a lot of artists, feel similarly, like musicians, I know.
I'm really glad you're saying that, because I think like there's this pressure for sure in the wedding filmmaking world, wedding photography world, to jump on every new trend that can get you more bookings. And I think it's hard. It's hard when you're not getting bookings. I think that when you're kind of established, you don't feel the same pull to like go to every little thing, because you're like, I don't need to. But when you're like, hey, I'm not where I want to be, you feel like, well, maybe if I do this, you know, new platform, then that's going to solve my booking issue. And it might, but I think, because we're talking a lot about like being satisfied in what you do, and that goes so far beyond how much money you make, how many bookings you do. It really goes in terms of the type of people that you're working with. So I think if you are struggling, don't see social media as the answer, because really social media is just an amplifier of what you already have. Just, it's kind of like money in a weird way. Like money is just like an amplifier of who you already are as a person. If you're more generous, you're going to be more generous with more money. If you're more stingy, you're probably going to be more stingy. And I think the smarter thing to do, and it seems to be kind of what you're doing too, is just put all your effort into serving people and focusing on getting the kind of people that you want to work with, and use the platforms that will bring you joy. Because I can think of nothing worse if you develop this massive following on TikTok and you have this huge brand, but you hate it, and you have to like do TikTok every day and be in this app that you hate. Yes, you have a successful business, but like day to day, it's just not fun.
Totally. Yeah. Thoughts. it's curious for sure. I think I know a lot of people also are in the same boat of like, to join TikTok, to not join TikTok.
Why do we sound like old, late, like honestly, old people in like a retirement home?
I know.
What is this TikTok? I don't know.
It is hilarious. Yeah. And I'm like kind of on the cusp of age too, where I'm like young still, like 26, turning 27.
Yeah.
But feel older than like the younger group that is on TikTok and stuff. So it's kind of weird. Anyways.
Yeah. I think just like, if anyone's listening to this about TikTok, and because I know a lot of people fill the pool, don't do TikTok just because everyone else is doing it and because you think it's going to solve your business problem. Like, first focus on the social media that you feel the most comfortable with and see if your target couples are finding you there. And just focus on that first, and then try TikTok. But if it feels like, man, this isn't really a good fit for me, I just feel really uncomfortable, then it's okay kind of pausing on that and doing something else. So, well, I'll probably have to revisit this in 3 or 4 months, and it's going to be like, I'm on TikTok every day. And it's like, man, David, you're such a hypocrite. I'm like, I know. So off of kind of like funny things in business, because TikTok is kind of this weird, funny thing, like, you've been doing weddings for a year, 2 years, but then you also shot for 4 years for this other company. So one of my favorite things at Venture or any wedding workshop that we do is sitting down with filmmakers and being like, okay, cool, like gear and finding your why and brand, like all that, that's cool. But like, do you have any wedding horror stories or anything that you just like, that are like really funny things that have happened at a wedding, or a wedding that you didn't shoot, or even an edit that like went horribly wrong? Like, I just think those are always so fun.
I agree. And I'm sure there's tons of them. Oh, I'm sure. The one that's sticking out to me is one time I was filming a first look, and I love capturing like the bride or whoever walking to their partner. And so, and we were on like a, there was a lot of rocks around. We were out in like the woods, and I'm walking with my gimbal, like, oh, this shot is so sick. Like, heck yeah. And I'm walking. And then all of a sudden I hit a rock, and the moment is so peaceful and quiet and sweet too. And I hit a rock, fall backwards. Like, my camera somehow was fine. And yeah, I'm on the ground, like the groom, he can't look at me because he can't look back. And he's like, is she all right? Is she good? I'm like, I'm so good. Like, as I'm like sort of in pain too, like so distraught. Anyways, they went on with their first look and it was totally fine. But looking back at that, I was recording too. I need to post that. Oh, another funny thing. Oh my gosh, David, this was hilarious. I just finished editing this video. It was in Pacific City, Oregon. So I'm originally from Oregon and it's this sand dune that they have, this giant sand dune. I don't know if you've ever been.
I've seen.
Yeah, you can go up it and like people sand, like, you know, it's really tall, but it's sand and it's hard to walk in. It's hard to walk up. And my clients wanted, they had a spot in mind, like around, like up this sand dune and around to do their elopement. And I was like, yep, totally down. Let's do it. Like not thinking about just how crazy that day was already with just logistics. And then also all the gear that I had. And I had like probably like 50 pounds of gear, which don't ask me why I brought all that.
I was like, how did you carry?
Oh my gosh. No, I don't even. And like their family was there and they're like, do you need any help? I'm like, I got it. And I'm like drudging through. Anyways, there's this clip that I was dying at. And I showed my housemates and husband when I was editing it. And I was just dying because I'm filming them at the top. Like they all kind of were looking out at this viewpoint. And I'm at the top. Like I had ran up this hill to get this shot. And I am heaving, like breathing so hard. And you can hear my breathing like behind the clip. It's hilarious. I'm going to the gym a lot more, trying to get into shape.
They're just having like a cute, they're like exchanging their vows. And it's just like.
It was hilarious. Anyways, those are a couple of them. But like so I said, there's probably a lot. Good. What about you?
Oh, man. Like. Let's see. I feel like some are just so bad that I like block out of my memory. So I don't know if I've told this one on the podcast before, like four episodes in. I'm not even sure which I've recorded anymore. But there was this one wedding where I don't know if it was funny. It's like an actual horror story. It's so, okay, wedding goes great. It's on top of this beautiful hill overlooking all these tiny hills and sunset. We're doing first dance. And everything's going great. The couple's doing their first dance. And then all of a sudden, the coordinator like runs up to me and she just looks like panicky and scared. And like someone just died. And she's like, I don't know what to do. Like, help me. I don't know what to do. And I was like, whoa, whoa, what's going on? What's going on? And she's like, so there's blood all over the bride's dress.
Oh, no. Oh no, that's a nightmare.
And,
oh no.
And then I'm just like, so why did you think that I would know exactly what to do in this moment? And you're the first person you came to. And I'm just like, wait, what? And just like, at first I was like, well, who got hurt? How'd the blood get there? And then my brain started going, oh, okay, this is like a woman thing.
No.
And now I'm like feeling super awkward. And they were like the sweetest Christian couple too. They were like waiting to have like sex for their wedding night and all this thing. So it was just like, oh, I just felt so bad. And then she's still panicking towards me. She's like, I don't know what to do. And then the bride sits down and she hasn't noticed, which is the worst part.
Shoot. Oh no. And now you know that information.
And now I know. And now the photographer also knows. And now the coordinator knows. And so we're all trying to figure out, like, how do we let her know? And no one else has noticed either because, like, she was dancing in such a way that I don't know, only the coordinator noticed. And so then we all kind of, like, get together. And so one of us kind of distracts the groom. And then the coordinator comes in and she, like, whispers into the bride's ear. And the bride, just her whole face just, like, dies and is so distraught. And then all the coordinators, there's like three or four, they all huddle behind the bride and then they take her into like a guest suite and then they cut out that portion of the dress, re-sew the like clean parts in and they bustle it and bring her back out and it's like nothing happened.
What heroes? Oh my gosh. That is insane.
And I'm just being like,
yeah, you can't do anything. Like, what if you walked up to her?
This is crazy.
Oh my gosh.
And then all like at the vendor meals, we're like talking about how we like saved this whole bride's wedding day and how awesome we are. And like, dang. I did nothing. but like that was pretty crazy. That's more of a horror story on that end.
Oh yeah, totally.
Weddings are crazy though. Like if you can't laugh at how funny weddings are sometimes, I just think you might want to do something else because they're just a whole another beast.
Yeah, I agree.
So we've talked about a lot of amazing things. We've talked about you falling on a rock, you like heaving after being extremely tired. No, we talked about intentionality and finding your why. And I kind of want to close out this conversation in terms of like what's been on your heart currently. So, you know, we just came through 2020. 2021 is your first kind of real year in the business of feeling like, okay, I'm kind of getting my footing. Like, what do you really want to focus on this year and for 2022 and 2023? Like, what are some of your goals, maybe challenges, things like that?
That's huge. Yeah. And such a great question and thing to be thinking about. as I'm like trying to think of something. Y'all, I've been so busy. I think for me is finding balance is a huge thing for me this year. I like have been working up most to like 10-hour days, like 6 days a week, most days. It's been crazy. And so finding balance and then in that finding ways to streamline my process a lot more just so that I can have that balance more because I'm realizing that I need to like be fulfilled as a person. You know, my work needs to be great and like, and it's going to be what it is and that's fine. But I also need to be fulfilled as a person. So I think finding balance in my own life is something that I really want to hone in on this year. And that means taking less clients. It means all of it, like leaning into my why more so that I can find the right clients that I feel like I'm feeling fulfilled. And yeah, that overall balance.
I think everyone's in that boat. I just feel like 2020 was kind of for a lot of us filmmakers and people in the wedding world, 2020 wasn't really pause as much as it was a freak out, whether, oh, I don't have enough money in my emergency fund to weather the storm, or I've never done rebookings and rescheduling. And now 2021, we're finally like, oh shoot, kind of dealing with just the panic of getting through 2020 and now 2022. But yeah, finding that balance is so key of just enjoying what you do. Cause if at the end of every day, you're just burnt the heck out for years and years and years, like what is even the point? So you've been doing this really for 5 years, if you include, you know, the original company that you work for. Like, what would you tell yourself back then, now, knowing kind of like what you've been through, if you could kind of give some advice to other women in the industry who are just starting out, like, what would that be?
Yeah, another great question. No, it really is. And I think for me, I know I've said this a million times, but it really is leaning in to your why and being true to who you are too, like letting who you are influence your why. And like, don't like try to pretend to be somebody else too, like to get somewhere you think you should be. Leaning into who you are and being in tune with that will reflect in your business too. Then you're going to find people that feel the same way as you. And it really, I feel like once you find that, you're going to enjoy what you do more and your work's going to be better because of that. And you're going to love what you do. You're going to be able to charge more. Like, it almost seems like the perfect recipe. Like, everything's going to fall into place, which isn't true, obviously. But like, I think if I knew that more and like leaned into that even more, I would see the benefits of that. And I'm continuing to try to do that every day. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And I think too, what I tell people, like, you're going to fail in life. You're like, that's just going to, like, you're going to succeed, but you're also going to fail. That's just life. And I think it's always the feeling of failure is always better palated when you do it being yourself. Like, if you fail doing what you really, really want to do and you're being authentic to who you are, yeah, it hurts, but you're like, there's nothing more I could have given. There's nothing, it's out of my control, whatever the outcome is. But if you fail trying to be someone else, then it hurts so much more because you're like, man, if only I would have done this or done that or done this other thing. And kind of just to bring it all back to, because I think it's really helpful for people. Sometimes you can kind of get lost in the business analogy, but think about, I don't know, like dating or meeting someone. If you go on a date and you're just yourself and they're kind of like, hey, I'm not interested, at least you know, hey, I was fully who I presented who I am and they weren't interested, and that's fine. And so I'm just going to find someone who really resonates with who I am. But if you were trying to kind of pretend to be someone else, then you have all these what ifs and it just hurts so much more. So I love that. It's just, don't be scared of failure. I'd say be more scared of just not actually being who you were created to be and serving people the way you were meant to.
I love that. Yeah, totally.
Cool, that's cool, awesome. Cool. Well, this has been insanely amazing. And I kind of want to, because the our Profitable Filmmaker course is going to be around the time this episode is launching. It's going to be coming out probably in the next couple weeks. And I know you went through it. I know you kind of talked about it a little bit at the beginning. It helped with a lot of the business side of things. I was just wondering if you could kind of talk about how it helped you, if someone was considering getting it, like maybe why they should and things like that.
Yeah, totally. For sure. So for me, that was a really helpful course because, as I've mentioned here, I worked for a company where I could learn a lot of the filming aspects and the editing. So I feel like I felt really prepared in that way for the most part. But business things, I was like, oh my gosh, whoa. And especially during 2020, that was like a big kick in the butt for me. It was like, all right, I really need to learn better systems for the way I'm doing things, like streamlining my process. Like I mentioned, finding balance and like that is huge too. Like if a computer can do it, let it do it. And, you know, just like logistical things like that. And there's so much great knowledge in there as that's business oriented. That really helped me lean into more of those aspects of my business. Yeah. And yeah, I would highly recommend that. And I'm not just saying that because I'm in front of you too, but I really do think that it is a great tool and there's really nothing else out there like it too, you know? And yeah, I think it's awesome. You should get it. David's great. He's the best.
Mama, like, I'm blushing over here. He's like, oh, okay, I'll slip you $200 after the call. All right. We'll do that. Yeah, I really appreciate that. And yeah, that's really like why I made the courses, because I know it took me forever to figure out kind of how business worked and applying it to wedding filmmaking, because I was like you, like, forget about the cameras, forget about kind of all the tech stuff, just let me tell emotional stories. And I floundered for so long because that's all I cared about. And that's still like why I do wedding filmmaking. But it was so cool to learn from other mentors in my life how to actually have a business, so that, because I think a lot of filmmakers think, oh, if I do the more business side of things, then my creativity is going to be gone. And I'm just going to be like this stick in the mud. I'm going to have no artistic merit at all. But for me, as I'm sure for you as well, is it kind of acts like, when you get the business stuff in place, it acts like a white picket fence around your life, to where then you have the freedom to play and be as creative, if not more creative, because you know you're guarded by these good business practices and you don't have to like worry about them.
Absolutely. And yeah, I think it also, just as another side note, like I remember listening through your like pricing one too, and I had never really had like pricing explained to me in a really good way or in that way. And also being kind of new, like that is kind of a daunting thing to look at and figure out what you're worth, which is so strange. But after watching that, I really implemented a lot of those into my pricing. And like now I'm able to charge a lot more than I was before, you know, just based off of the really tangible like ways that you helped even just build out, like in the words you used. I think it really inspired me to implement those in my own business as well. And yeah, I'm able to make more money because of that, which is awesome. Always great.
And that's so cool. Yeah, making more money is always great. And it's so cool to hear you say that, because you are way more artistically minded, way more feeling and emotional, and still getting such a benefit from the more business side of things and seeing how it can infuse and empower your art. So that's awesome. And for the people listening, this course is going to come out probably in the next couple weeks or so. And so, yeah, definitely in the show notes below will be Maddie and all her amazing work. And then there'll also be a link to the Profitable Filmmaker to sign up for when that's going to come out. But This was amazing. Is there anything else you wanted to like say or leave people with as like a closing thought that like any
lightning
round things? If not, you're just like, man, I said everything I want to say. It's perfect.
Thumbs up.
That's fine.
That's what I have.
Okay, cool. Well, this has been awesome. Thanks so much for doing this. And yeah, go check out Maddie's work. It's incredible.
Thank you so much, David. It's really cool to sit down and chat with you and hear your heart for this podcast too. Like, I really do think that people love listening to casual conversations. What do you know? People want to like see the authentic like parts of you and like and me and whoever is on this with you. Like, I know I'm drawn to podcasts like that for sure. And so it's really cool to hear your heart for this and just the industry in general and all of that. So thanks for all you do.
All right, guys. Well, that wraps up today's episode. It was so incredible talking to Madeline. Definitely go give her a follow. All her details will be in the show notes below, her website, her Instagram. And also, like I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, our Profitable Filmmaker course is coming out super soon. And if you want to be the first to hear about it, click that link below and put in your email so that you'll be notified as soon as it comes out. And I'm also doing like a free mini course that's going to be all delivered via email about how to really succeed as a wedding filmmaker, and that's going to be going out before the course launches. So definitely put in your email there so you can get the free mini course and then also be notified when the full course drops. All right, guys, this is an awesome podcast. I'll see you in the next one.